Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to the semi-annual update for Concentrated Value Composite call. All lines have been placed on listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for your questions and comments following the presentation. Without further ado, it is my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Paul Gillespie. Mr. Gillespie, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Laura. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Paul Gillespie, and I'm the Client Portfolio Manager at Nuance Investments. I want to thank everyone for joining us today on our semi-annual update call for the Nuance Concentrated Value Strategy. Before we get started, I need to let you know that this presentation may include statements regarding the intent, belief, or current expectations of our portfolio management team. Actual results may differ materially from such forward-looking statements due to a number of factors, including changes in general economic conditions, market liquidity, market volatility, and other market financial or governmental uncertainties. We will also be referring to a presentation during the conference call today. A link to download that presentation was sent via email along with the invitation to this call, but if you do not have it, you can email us at client.services@nuanceinvestments.com, and we will send over the presentation as soon as possible. With that, I'll turn it over to our President and Chief Investment Officer, Scott Moore. Scott?
Thank you, Paul, and good afternoon, everyone. As is our tradition on our semi-annual calls, I will give a brief team update, a firm update, a process update, of course, and then we'll discuss the last 6 months' performance as well as our going forward outlook. Regarding our team, you can turn to page 2 of the presentation book. Paul indicated that that you should have, I hope you do, and see that there are no changes. Our investment staff is stable, experienced, and continuing to analyze companies at a very high level. Chad Baumler, my co-portfolio manager, enters his second year with the firm and is doing an outstanding job for us. Adam West and Lori Kirby have been with us now for many years and continue their great work in the respective sectors and industries. From a firm perspective, just a few details to note. First, our assets have grown substantially over the last 2 to 3 years, and we now stand at approximately $1.1 billion in both of our two products. Concentrated Value, which we are discussing today, is over $900 million, and as a reminder, we'll close to new clients at $1 billion, so there's not an enormous amount of capacity left with that product. Again, for those of you who have not spoken to us on a regular basis, we will not be doing a hard close in any way, shape, or form, just as soft close. Existing clients for us when we hit the billion-dollar level will always be able to access our Nuance Concentrated Value product on a going-forward basis. Our team also would like to welcome Jenny McBee to the firm as an assistant client portfolio manager. Jenny is a CFA and brings excellent institutional experience to our firm. She will be helping Paul Gillespie, our vice president and client portfolio manager, with all things related to our clients' needs, and we're very happy to have her on the team. Lastly, we're excited that we will be launching our third mutual fund at year-end. More details will be coming soon on that product. The product itself has been planned for many years and is the last of the products we anticipate being managed by our team. Most of you have met us face-to-face, and we've talked about this product before. We're kind of in the final stages of getting that product set up. Regarding our process, as is depicted on page 3, I'm certain that all of our clients would expect me to confirm that nothing has changed, nor do we anticipate anything changing as it relates to our time-tested process. And, of course, that is the message again for this period. As a reminder, and for any potential new clients on the call that we haven't spoken to face-to-face or on a call, we are searching for market share leading businesses regardless of capitalization. They're typically facing transitorily negative pressures that have compressed the earnings power and cash flow potential below normal levels. That pressure has resulted in valuation discounts below historically fair value levels, in our opinion. The entire process has always been and continues to be focused on providing excellent risk-adjusted returns by buying companies when the negative sentiment has resulted in downside potential being largely priced into the stock. This has, over the years and in the intermediate and longer-term periods, allowed for better-than-average downside protection and, of course, and very importantly, better-than-average upside potential. As to our performance, I would break the periods into three sections. Obviously, there's a lot of periods that we can talk about, starting with what we believe to be the least relevant period, the shortest term period, and then moving on to the most relevant periods as you study our results. The data for this is on our page 4 and 5 in the presentation book, and I'm going to emphasize page 4 here in my next few comments. First, for the shortest period we like to discuss, which is year-to-date, our nuanced concentrated value composite is up 4.36% net of fees versus our primary benchmark, the Russell 3000 Value Index, down 0.51%. So a solid start to the year through 6/30. I would note that we have given some of that performance back in the last few weeks, but continue to be ahead of the benchmark nicely as we sit here today. As we have been writing our monthly perspectives recently, we think a more relevant shorter-term time period that we would consider something that our clients should maybe look at would be a period of 2 years. It's still shorter-term, so discussing how we're doing with your clients in the shorter-term provides good insights, but it's not quite the volatility of things like year-to-date periods or 12-month periods where the sheer randomness of the market can give you false signals on how we're doing over time. For that period, we're up 15.7% net of fees versus the Russell 3000 value up 13.35%. So, again, a pretty good period for us, as well. For what we believe is the most relevant time period since inception, which is now almost 7 years, with Nuance Investments, we are up 19.85% annualized and of course, net of fees versus the Russell 3000 value up 14.4% annualized. So clearly, we're very pleased with our long-term performance as well. Lastly, on page 5, again, since inception data versus our peers, you can see we've done very well over time and been able to outperform our peers with significantly less risk against the Morningstar mid-cap value, large cap value, or the Lipper multi-cap value peer groups. Those three, I think, capsule what our all cap concentrated value composite is about. We are first percentile as measured by Sharpe ratio, which is our preferred measure of risk-adjusted return. So again, pleased with those longer-term results, which I think, the long-term results have the best indicator of the long-term potential of our team and our process at adding you and your clients value over time. As for 2015, if you would turn to page 6, as most of our clients recall, during the months of December and January, I think we visited with almost all of you, if not face-to-face, certainly on a phone call, and discussed the significant opportunities we were seeing in both the energy sector as well as the banking industry, both related to significant market dislocations, in our opinion. As a reminder, the first dislocation we were talking about related to the energy sector because of near trough oil and natural gas prices that were occurring during clearly what is the latter stages of an economic cycle. That's a pretty rare but not unprecedented event for sure. The late 90s was a good example of another period where supply-side issues resulted in a energy cycle as opposed to it being economically driven. And that event obviously put significant pressure on energy stocks and led us to find some of our very favorite energy companies at very attractive prices. The other dislocation we talked about later in the year was related to interest rates, specifically the 10-year Treasury being below 2%, and I think it touched as low as 1.6% to 1.7%. And that clearly drove another round of buying by the market of all things interest sensitivity and dividend yield and resulted in very high valuations for simple basic utilities, real estate investment trusts, many consumer staples, and in fact a lot of healthcare stocks as well. Conversely, those low rates hurt net interest margins and returns on capital at some very high-quality banks and low-quality banks as well, and resulted in very attractive valuation for companies like BOK Financial, the ticker symbol is BOKF, and Commerce Bank Shares, the ticker symbol is CBSH, two very high-quality share-gaining commercial banks, which we were rather aggressively purchasing for our clients in the latter parts of the fourth quarter and early parts of the first quarter of last year. Since that time, as we start to think about the first 6 months of this year, oil prices have rallied from the mid-40s up to the low to mid-60s by June 30th. That, of course, helped our holdings and our investments in the company like Frank's International, ticker symbol FI, Cameron International, ticker symbol CAM, and Schlumberger, ticker symbol SLB, all of which contributed nicely to our first 6 months of performance. By 6:30, we had actually reduced some of that exposure, but are still overweight in the energy space. Likewise, the long-term interest rates rising from those 1.6 to 1.7% levels in January to 2.3 or 2.4 in a very short order resulted in a rally in bank stocks, and the undervaluation that we observe from our high-quality BOKF and CBSH Commerce Bank shares, that actually helped both of those stocks outperform significantly, even on that very small move in interest rates, and gives, I think, all of us a reminder of the sense of the volatility, in it, even in some companies that, frankly, fundamentally are not that volatile. And I think it always gives us pause and helps us remind ourselves that volatility is our friend. Volatility provides opportunities for us to buy these leading businesses when they really are significantly undervalued, and that provides us with that window to provide value to you and your clients over time. BOKF, for example, went from the mid-50s to the low 70s on that very small interest rate move. The biggest attribution winners for the 6 months, as you might expect, Frank's International, BOKF or BOK Financial, MKS Instruments, one of our favorite high-quality technology names, which we've owned for a long time, a one-off stock in Goldcorp, which we have bought and sold a couple of times over the recent years and actually sold in the low 20s earlier this year, and we're certainly pleased that we did, Cameron International, and a packaging company, Avery Dennison, among others. Our negative contributor really was focused on our underweight in the healthcare space. The space itself did fantastic, but due to very expensive valuations, we have been underweight that area since sometime last year and are really not finding good risk-reward opportunities. So that actually hurt the portfolio for the first 6 months of the year. In my opinion, a little more importantly, our portfolio going forward, I would have four takeaways plus, you know, a little bit of a summary, and would refer you to our page 7 for the current portfolio weightings and our top 10 holdings. First, we continue to like energy. As I said earlier, we reduced some of your weighting as oil rallied back to the mid-60s, and now as it's fallen back to around $50 a share, we're seeing valuation opportunities materialize back to, again, some of those levels that we saw earlier this year. So we're adding back to some of the energy holdings that we'd reduced modestly. We reduced some of the Schlumberger. We'd reduced some of the Frank's International. We'd reduced some of the Cameron International. And we're actually adding back to some of those here over the last few weeks. Again, I think largely that reversion of oil prices is due to some of the slowing in China. And I think some of the fear that that will get worse and worse and worse over the next couple of years. We think a lot of that is obviously already priced in to those stocks, and we're pretty pleased at the risk rewards they are presenting. Frank's International, for example, a reminder, the number one market share position player in the highly engineered tubular system business ahead of Weatherford Corporation, about 60% market share in that business, very long-standing, stable market share situation. We believe at more normal energy prices, normal earnings can be $1.50 to $1.60. There's nearly $3 per share of cash on the balance sheet. And at today's prices, we have a 4%, and we believe very protected dividend yield while we wait. We think the stock's risk reward is incredibly compelling. And just on simple math, the company could actually buy back the company with the cash on the balance sheet, which we think is just a very interesting nugget as you think about the risk reward for something that is of this quality. We also like Schlumberger and Cameron International, as we mentioned, and we would expect to add on weakness for those two stocks. Again, remind yourself just how contrarian we are. It is when these negative periods arise or when the opportunities are presented, when the downside is limited and the upside is at its greatest. And energy today is one of our best opportunities, as it was really at the beginning of the year. We are reducing our bank exposure as stocks like Commerce Bank shares, again, has moved from undervalued to closer to fairly valued as interest rates have risen modestly. We still like the space, however, but just not as much as we did. And I think very importantly, I think all of you know that have met and talked to me over the years that we continue to find company-specific stock situations, as we always do, that are creating opportunities for you as our clients. A company like UPS, the company is clearly dominant in what it does, along with FedEx and the post office. And the company, however, is under-earning its potential due to excess spending to meet demand for delivery services, all of that spending being done really last winter as it anticipated the holiday season, at around 16 times our normal earnings versus our belief of the market at 18 to 19 times, an under-leveraged balance sheet, market share gainer with nearly a 3% dividend yield. We really think this stock is very attractive versus the other market alternatives, and particularly against other stocks that could be deemed consumer cyclicals. We think this is a share gainer with a very stable competitive position, so really fits what we're trying to find. I've mentioned Fuller to a lot of you, ticker symbol FUL, the number two player in sealants and adhesives that continues to under-earn their potential due to excess spending in Europe on an acquisition that they did a couple of years ago, as well as an SAP integration. At our normal earnings, the stock is trading at 12 to 13 times earnings, again, versus our view of the market at 18 to 19 times. Dividend raising potential over the next couple of years is very high, as they have a very low dividend payout ratio, and we really like where the stock could go over the next couple of years. A recent addition for us over the last 6 months is a company called Emerson Electric, one of my all-time favorites, a leading process automation, compressor, industrial application components business, clearly dominant number one or number two market share positions across the vast majority of its business. The company is under-earning due to currency issues, energy-related spending, and more recently, global industrial weakness. We have normal earnings there closer to $4, and the stock's trading at around 13 times our normal PE ratios, again, versus that market estimate of 18 to 19 times. And while we wait, it's paying us a 3.8% dividend yield, which we think, again, is quite safe. So another very high-quality company having its own individual issues that are leading to what we think is very negative sentiment and a very interesting valuation opportunity for our clients. And then the last stock I would mention is one that we also bought in the first 6 months of the year, Chubb Corporation, ticker symbol CB, a stock that I've bought and sold many, many times over my career. Probably fair to say my favorite property and casualty insurance company. We bought the stock as the underperformance in it due to expectations of pricing pressures in the overall property and casualty business led to a nicely attractive entry point. We are clearly pleased that ACE decided to buy Chubb from us for stock and cash early in the third quarter. Note that the premium that we received are not included in those numbers as of 6:30, as the actual deal came out after that. We had bought the stock for you in the 90s and are pleased the stock today is kind of in the mid-120s. So really a nice example of a high-quality stock. Maybe not quite the late economic cycle growth that some investors want to see in a company that ultimately led to some undervaluation in a high-quality company. We were able to purchase the stock at pretty attractive prices, and fortunately for us, over a very quick period, we're able to get a very nice, substantial upside potential for our clients in that stock. A little more broadly, we are overweight. As you might imagine, again, the very diverse industrial sector. I don't want you guys to believe, as our clients, that we are heavily overweighted in what I think of as machinery and core industrial, although we have some of that now that we've bought more recently with Emerson. Within that industrial space is also the likes of UPS, which you could certainly consider industrial, but it's a little bit certainly different than core industrial sort of companies. And, of course, our longtime holding, Xylem Corporation, which is, you know, in our opinion, the very best water and wastewater infrastructure play of the public companies that deal in that particular business. We will continue to own that stock as well. And, of course, we're overweight the energy sector, as we described above. I would also note we have an overweight in the utility space, which is driven solely by our combination utility National Fuel Gas, ticker symbol NFG. That stock is a sum of the parts gem, in our opinion, with a utility, a very underappreciated potential MLP natural gas pipeline, and a very low-cost, under-earning natural gas-only E&P segment. We think there's some catalysts on the near term for that stock to get that going. It's under-earning, and its valuation is very inexpensive, particularly considering they have some levers to pull to enhance valuation in the near term. Lastly, our underweights hinge on broad overvaluation and structurally competitive issues in the consumer cyclical sector, as well as overvaluation in general in the healthcare, real estate investment trust, and information technology sectors. Excuse me. In summary, while our internal valuation estimates suggest a broader stock market that is modestly overvalued on today's earnings, we continue to find excellent businesses with excellent longer-term risk rewards and certainly some outstanding valuation support, as I've alluded to in my comments. Again, that data suggests to us, our internal work suggests to us that our portfolio of leading business franchises, which include the likes of Frank's International, UPS, Schlumberger, Chubb, Emerson Electric, et cetera, trading at a price to normal earnings ratio of around 13 times versus, again, our Nuance approved list, which is our view of the market at closer to 18 to 19 times. Our dividend yield is also starting to rise up the charts a little bit. We're almost now into the mid twos on a dividend yield, which, you know, we're pretty pleased at that level, supporting the portfolio's downside, and certainly versus a U.S. 10-year treasury in the low twos is pretty compelling in my opinion, particularly given the long-term growth we have in these stocks over time. With that, I'll end my comments, and I will open it up to any questions.
Certainly. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press the number 7 or the letter Q on your telephone keypad. Questions will be taken in the order they were received, and if at any point your question has been answered, you may press 7 or Q again to disable your request. Again, if you do have a question, please press the number 7 or the letter Q on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from Eddie Setso. Eddie, please state your question.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Just wondering, kind of with respect to Frank's International, obviously we got a report today. Any thoughts on kind of what to do with the stock price action, et cetera?
Well, clearly, Eddie, and thank you for your question. Clearly, we very much like Frank's over the long term. As you've gotten to know us over time, you might imagine we're active in the stock today, so I can't give you specifics. That would be inappropriate. But considering my comments about it being the number one positioned player, the fact that normal earnings power, we believe, are in the mid-ones, there's $3 per share almost of cash on the balance sheet, a 4% dividend yield, and we have near-term underappreciation for the business due to negative sentiment and obviously energy prices that are below what we think normal should be, I think probably you'd get an idea of what we would be leaning to do. Remind yourself that for all of these companies, we have fair value price targets and downside potential price targets. As stocks go down, they get closer to our downside price target, which means definitionally that the risk reward of the stocks get better. So with these stocks, we are buyers on weakness in general. Again, I can't tell you specifically with Frank's because we're active, but in general, we are buyers of weakness as the risk-reward gets better due to the market's insatiable ability to focus on the short term, which provides us with those wonderful opportunities over time.
Understood. And maybe just as a follow-up, as kind of you highlighted that some of your exposures are on page 7, it does seem like, and it's obvious that you guys have a bit of a leaning towards global fixed investment spending. I mean, could you just comment on that? I mean, is there a macro view embedded in that positioning, or how should I think about that positioning?
Yeah, there's really not a macro view underlying that positioning. These are all bottoms-up, one stock at a time reviews where each individual stock is studied. And, you know, as I noted when I went through the company-specific stock examples, each of them are having their own one-off issue. UPS, for example, has an excess spending issue just to meet the demand for the massive purchases that are coming online for delivery services last winter. That really doesn't have much to do with some global macro picture. Our general macro picture is that the long-term growth rate of the economies of the world should be 2, 3, 4%, and that we're going to have cycles off of that base, and that these companies' returns on capital reflect those levels, and that depressions, recessions, more importantly, because that's what we typically see, are normal parts of these businesses' activities, and we'll see under-earnings through those recessionary periods. Today, the stocks I've mentioned, they don't fully reflect, the downsides don't fully reflect recessionary periods, but they are under-earning their potential due to some particular issue, and the valuations suggest some pretty darn good protection versus, let's say, you know, 25 times earning consumer cyclical companies like a Costco as one example. So there isn't a macro theme to it, but what we're seeing the opportunities are in a few areas where there is some of that global spending, that global growth, you know, kind of backdrop that, you know, does drive the near-term sentiment, and that would be in stocks like, you know, energy as an entire group. And I think more a recent ad of Emerson Electric would be another good example. For the last few years, we've actually been very seriously underweight the industrial space as a whole, particularly the machinery type of names, the electrical component type of names, because we felt like they were over-earning their potential. Over the last 1 to 2 years, we've seen that starting to unwind, and Emerson Electric is really our first foray back into that classic global industrial world. Hope that makes sense.
No, that's perfect. Thank you very much.
Again, if you do have a question, please press the number 7 or the letter Q on your telephone keypad. Mr. Gillespie, it appears we have no further questions at this time.
Thanks, Laura, and I want to thank everyone for joining us today. As always, we are always available to help answer any questions you have about the portfolio, and that will conclude today's call. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, everyone.
That concludes today's teleconference. We thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your line at this time.